RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Clemency for former Corruption Eradication Commission KPK chief sign. Indonesian President Joko Widodo and the People's Consultative Assembly discuss state guidelines. Indonesia urged to make use of available opportunities. Now, the news in details. Presidential spokesperson Johan Budi confirmed on Wednesday, President Joko Widodo did grant clemency to former Corruption Eradication Commission Chief Antasari Azhar. Johan said the clemency to Antasari, who was sentenced for 18 years imprisonment in 2010 for masterminding the drive-by shooting of Nasruddin Zulkarnain, a director of state-owned pharmaceutical company Raja Wali Putra Banjaran, was made based on consideration from, among others, the Supreme Court. Antasari, who has served 7 years of his term, has continuously pledged his innocence to the crime. Earlier, Antasari's lawyer, Boyamin Saiman, told reporters that his client had been granted clemency. The lawyer said he would come to the court to obtain the presidential's decree for clemency. Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly, MPR, Zulkifli Hasan, said that this year the Assembly will continue to discuss the forming of state guidelines. He stated after a meeting with President Joko Widodo on Tuesday at the Merdeka Palace that the President welcomed the forming of state guidelines. Zulkifli also added that the discussions on the forming of state guidelines have been agreed in the Assembly itself and have been disseminated to the public. Zulkifli explained that this year the Assembly will continue the discussion.
Kami juga menyampaikan perkembangan haluan negara, ya.
The development of state guidelines has been agreed by the general meeting, has been resolved and disseminated. The fractions have already has the materials of general meeting from the research center of MPR. Of course, the issue will be discussed again this year. Earlier, Mr. President said that the state guidelines are very important. We are waiting only for the right moment. Of course, it would be a long debate. This year, we will discuss the formulation of the state guidelines. The development of the discussions would be reported to the President.
Furthermore, the Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly, MPR, Zulkifli Hasan, said that in the consultation meeting with the President, he also conveyed about the socialization for state pillars. He also expressed his appreciation related to the government's efforts to establish the Pancasila Strengthening Institute. Zulkifli said, the establishment of Pancasila Strengthening Institute needs to be adjusted to the times. He also expressed support for the establishment of the institute and hope that its establishment could be carried out with the coordination between the government and the Assembly. Indonesia needs to make the best of its foreign policy stance in the year ahead despite all the recent unsettling developments, a discussion of Indonesian foreign policy concluded on Tuesday. This is all the more necessary with United States President Donald Trump signaling a particular shift in U.S. interests away from Southeast Asia. For Phillips Fremonte, Executive Director of the Center for Strategic and International Studies, CSIS, there is a need for Indonesia to push the maritime agenda in Asia to stem the rise of China in a region that will lose its geopolitical balance if the U.S. makes an exit. Dina Wisnu of Paramadina University also believed Indonesia should make the best of current circumstances, particularly on Asia's dilemma with Trump. Dina also said Indonesia should intensify business-to-business and people-to-people relations while making sure to build forward linkage to maximize on existing economic deals which can be achieved through Asia. Dewi Fortuna Anwar, another international relations expert and speakers, but who is attached to the government, said that Indonesia's foreign policy stance was not simply to hedge between the U.S. and China, but was omnidirectional by nature. State-owned oil and gas company PT Pertamina has imported 1.2 million barrel diesel fuel following the shutdown of the company's refinery in the last 2 months. Pertamina Deputy Director Ahmad Bambang said that the company had decided to import diesel fuel as fuel stocks plummeted to below 20 days, the normal rate being 23 days. According to him, the decline in fuel stock was due to the increasing demand for diesel fuel from mining industry as coal prices rose at the turn of the year. Fuel stock continues to worsen after Balikpapan refinery suddenly shut down on December 2nd. The refinery, with an output of 43 million tons of diesel fuel, has halted its operation once again on December 11th. It even stopped producing diesel fuel for over 24 hours since January 15. Energy Ministry had approved Pertamina's import proposals. Director for Downstream Oil and Gas Business Setyorini Trihutami said that the ministry has allowed gasoline import as well. Many have questioned the decision to import diesel fuel. Pertamina typically made the decision 3 months before the import. In this instance, the company made the decision in December to import diesel fuel for January. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, in Jakarta. Indonesia is looking to major oil exporter United Arab Emirates to try to push down its feed-in tariff for renewable energy, which many deem too high in the archipelago country. Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Ignatius Jonan said Indonesia should also be able to reduce the high prices in the sector in order to encourage further development, especially in remote regions. Although the United Arab Emirates is known for its vast oil reserves, it recently revealed that it was investing $163 billion in clean energy projects to fulfill half the country's energy needs by 2030. Jonan acknowledged that the characteristics between Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates were different, as their solar radiation is 30% higher than ours. However, he said if Indonesia studied the United Arab Emirates closely, it might be able to push the renewable energy feed-in tariff to around 6 cents per kilowatt rather than 17 cents. The government has set a goal to supply 23% of the national energy mix from renewable sources by 2025. The Indonesian government's recent decision to allow the export of copper concentrate, nickel ore, and wash bauxite is a pragmatic move, says Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Ignatius Jonan. The minister said during the opening of the Indonesia Energy Roadmap Seminar in Central Jakarta on Wednesday that the government does not see this as a relaxation, but as a decision that is realistic to the circumstances. The mining law stipulates that smelters must be completed by 2014. The newest revisions, Government Regulation No. 1-2017, allows mining companies to continue exporting copper concentrates and certain amounts of low-grade nickel ore and wash bauxite as long as they have converted their contract of work to a special mining license. Furthermore, companies holding an special mining license must also officially express their commitment to building smelters in the country within 5 years. Jonan defended the government's decision and said miners who had been allowed to export minerals would be evaluated every 6 months in order to check whether the smelter's construction was running as it should. If the smelter's development was not to the government's satisfaction, then the export permits would be revoked. Jakarta Acting Governor Sumarsono gave a public lecture in the seminar entitled Preservation of Betawi Culture Through Art and Culture of Betawi at Campus A of Muhammad Tamrin University, Jalan Pondok Gede Raya, Kramat Jati East, Jakarta. On that occasion, he explained about the background and the spirit that embodied in the Gubernatorial Regulation No. 229/2016 on Betawi Cultural Preservation in front of 100 academicians in the seminar. Sumarsono went on to say that the gubernatorial regulation signed about 2 months ago is a derivative of Bylaw No. 4/2015 on Betawi Cultural Preservation. Then the Gubernatorial Regulation No. 229/2016, he assessed, it is the foundation of implementation of Betawi culture preservation in Jakarta. With such regulation, he hoped, Betawi's creative economy could be developed. In addition, the Betawi art could also be disseminated to the public massively. Sumarsono added that if the cultural foundation is strong, creative economy can be developed solidly. Demoralization, social tensions, and glamorous happen due to a weak culture. Listener, that was Tenus. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with commentary. President of the United States Donald Trump has fulfilled one of its promises while campaigning for his election to withdraw from the Trans-Pacific Partnerships, or TPP. Donald Trump not only repealed U.S. TPP membership, but also threatened to impose sanctions for companies that move U.S. jobs overseas. Trans-Pacific Partnership was signed by 12 countries in Asia-Pacific in New Zealand during of Barack Obama's leadership, but it has been rejected by the majority of citizens of the United States itself, and since its creation has not been approved nor ratified by the U.S. Congress. With the withdrawal of the U.S. from membership of the TPP, it will diminish the strength of the economy. Originally, the 12 countries that joined TPP were 40% of the world economic power, as it includes the United States, Japan, Malaysia, Vietnam, Singapore, Brunei, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, Mexico, Chile, and Peru. China, however, did not join the partnership. The exit of the U.S. from the Trans-Pacific Partnership raises questions about the continuation of the partnership. Will Donald Trump's decision affect the attitudes and policies of other member states such as Australia, Japan, Canada, and Mexico? For the United States alone, there will be no real political risk because Congress has not ratified the TPP. Through the decisions on the first day of his reign, Trump actually got his own image for consistency. For other countries, including members of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, President Donald Trump's decision may be an indication that the new president would probably change a lot of U.S. foreign policies as put forward during the campaign. Listener, that was commentary for today. I'm Dinu Graha. Thank you for listening.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from the past and tells their stories. We start with the National Nutrition Day, celebrated every January 25 annually. According to the guidelines of National Nutrition Day, the National Nutrition Day was firstly held by the People Food Institution in the mid-1960s and continued by the Nutrition Directorate in the 1970s up to at present. This event was organized to start the Indonesia's cadre of nutrition by establishing the Indonesia's Nutrition Vocational School on January 26, 1951. Since then, the education of nutrition continues to grow rapidly in many universities in Indonesia. Later, there was agreed that the National Nutrition Day is set to commemorate on January 25. The National Nutrition Day is not just a momentum, because actually the day is a form of warning that nutrition has played an important role in human life. On January 25, 1999, the 6.0 Richter scale earthquake shook Colombia. Earthquake shook the western Colombia and killed nearly 1,171 people. The earthquake was the biggest ever during the last 16 years. the quake demolished the capital city and Colombian government center, Bogota. Most of collapsed buildings caused by the quake were the historical buildings. And now we conclude today's segment of Today in History with an event which occurred on January 25, 2006. Sudarmono passed away. At the Third National Conference Golkar Functional Group in 1983, retired Lieutenant General Sudarmono was elected as President of the Golkar Executive Board in 1983 to 1988 period. In March 1988, Sudarmono was elected as Vice President of the Development Cabinet for a five-term services from 1988 to March 1993. The chosen Sudarmono as the Vice President inseparable from his success to lead the Central Executive Board of Golkar. Sudarmono died on January 25, 2006 at 1740 Western Indonesia Time at Metropolitan Medical Center Hospital Kuningan, Jakarta. Sudarmono died from a lung infection and other complications. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome to Voice Green. Today we'll invite you to talk about Indonesian government anticipates forest and land fire 2017. Indonesian President Joko Widodo warned the threat of wider forest and land fire is possible occur this year. According to the report from Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, BMKG, in 2017, the weather in Indonesia will be more dry from the previous years, so that the threat of forest and land fire is possibly bigger. This was said by President Joko Widodo when giving briefing at the National Coordinating Meeting of Forest and Land Fire Control 2017 at the State Palace Jakarta Monday, January 23. President also reminded on the need of early prevention measure to avoid the forest and land fire. The anticipation steps such as the establishment of alert emergency. During this time, the length of procedure making the government's effort to extinguish the fire becomes too late. The strengthening of early detection systems in fire-prone areas also needs to be done. In addition, the construction of canals and drilled wells should be resumed. According to President, it is not just the responsibility of governments, but also private companies and landowners. President Joko Widodo also requested that there should be built the fire control post either at the district or village. The local community should also be involved in anticipation of fire. President Joko Widodo also expressed the importance to check the preparedness of tools in the fire extinguishing operation. To the perpetrators of forest and land fire, the President asked the law enforcement agencies to be firmly action. In fact, President Joko Widodo instructed the companies involved in the case of forest fires no longer get a warning, but the revocation of a business license immediately. President Joko Widodo also called for the strengthening of cooperation between central government, local government, military, and police in planning land and forest fire prevention. President Joko Widodo wants his staffs, both at the central and local levels, can respond quickly their land and forest fire. Therefore, the President viewed the loss of forest and land fire is quite large, up to hundreds of trillions rupiah. According to a recent data, losses from land and forest fires in 2015 reached 220 trillion rupiah. Such figure without counting losses of some sectors including health, education, germplasm and carbon emissions sector. Listener, that was the Voice Green.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. Presidential spokesperson Johan Budi confirmed on Wednesday President Joko Widodo did grant clemency to former Corruption Eradication Commission Chief Antasari Azhar. Indonesia needs to make the best of its foreign policy stance in the year ahead despite all the recent unsettling developments, a discussion of Indonesian foreign policy concluded on Tuesday. State-owned oil and gas company PT Pertamina has imported 1.1 million barrel diesel fuel following the shutdown of the company's refinery in the last 2 months. Indonesia is looking to major oil exporter United Arab Emirates to try to push down its feed-in tariff for renewable energy, which many deem too high in the archipelago country. The Indonesian government's recent decision to allow the export of copper concentrate, nickel ore, and wash bauxite is a pragmatic move, says Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Ignatius Jonan. Jakarta Acting Governor Sumarsono gave a public lecture in the seminar entitled Preservation of Betawi Culture Through Art and Culture of Betawi at Campus A of Muhammad Tamrin University in East Jakarta. Listener, that was News in Brief over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at english.rriworldservice.com. Listener, our next segment is Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit Central Java Province. Stay tuned. Listeners, Lunar New Year 2017 is approaching. In today's edition, we invite you to visit Lasem, a city in Rembang Regency, Central Java Province, which has the nickname Little China. Lasem is located on the north coast of Central Java, approximately 136 kilometers from Ahmad Yani Airport in Semarang. Lasem is known as Little China because, according to historical literature, Lasem is believed to be the first place where a Chinese community developed in Indonesia. Lasem is thought of as a leading tourist destination. Moreover, Lasem recently earned a UNESCO Asia Pacific Award for cultural heritage conservation. Listeners, one historical place in Lasem, Chuan Kyong Temple, is believed to be the oldest temple on Java. Chuan Kyong Temple was built in the 16th century. Another historical temple in Lasem is Ji Yong Biao Temple. This temple is a war memorial representing Chinese and Javanese people in Lasem standing against the Dutch of 1745 to 1753. Po An Biao Temple is another temple in Lasem, which was built around 1740. Listeners, even though the city is known as Little China, Lasem is home to Pulau Ristrik Society. There are many Islamic boarding schools and the well-known Jami Mosque, where you can find a cemetery for Muslim clerics. There is also a Buddhist temple called Arama Ratanavana. The temple consists of many levels, and on its level we can view golden Buddha statues in various positions. One of them is a reclining Buddha. In addition to the golden Buddha statues, there is also a miniature version of Borobudur Temple. The location of the Borobudur replica is about 200 meters to the north of Arama Ratanavana Temple. Arama Ratanavana Temple is located in Sendang Choyo Village. Well, listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Lasem, Little China in Rembang. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestions or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id and english@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is belanja bahan-bahan kue, or in English, buying cake's ingredients. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly, twice, and you can follow after me. Belanja. Belanja in English, to go shopping. Bahan kue. Bahan kue in English, cake's ingredient. Apa kabarmu? Apa kabarmu? In English, how are you? Baik. Baik in English, fine or well. Apa kamu ada waktu? Apa kamu ada waktu? In English, do you have time? Menemani. Menemani in English, to accompany. Ingin belanja apa? Ingin belanja apa? In English, what do you want to buy? Tahun baru Imlek. Tahun baru Imlek. In English, Lunar New Year. Di mana? Di mana? In English, where? Pasar tradisional. Pasar tradisional. In English, traditional market. Keju, susu bubuk, susu cair. Keju, susu bubuk, susu cair in English, cheese, milk powder, and milk. Coklat, tepung terigu. Coklat, tepung terigu in English, chocolate, wheat flour. Sagu, gula pasir, telur ayam. Sagu, gula pasir, telur ayam in English, sago, sugar, chicken egg. Mentega. Mentega in English, butter. Dan lain-lain. Dan lain-lain in English, and many others. Kapan. Kapan in English, when. Berangkat. Berangkat in English, to go. Sekarang. Sekarang in English, now. Baiklah. Baiklah in English, all right. Next is a conversation on belanja bahan-bahan kue, or in English means buying cake's ingredients. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Lucy and Ina. Lucy. Hai Ina, apa kabar? Hai Ina, apa kabar? In English, hai Ina, how are you? Ina, baik, bagaimana denganmu? Baik, bagaimana denganmu? In English, I'm fine, how about you? Lucy, baik juga, apakah kamu ada waktu menemani saya belanja? Baik juga, apakah kamu ada waktu menemani saya belanja? In English, fine too. Do you have time to accompany me shopping? Ina, kamu ingin belanja apa? Kamu ingin belanja apa? In English, what do you want to buy? Lucy, membeli keperluan bahan-bahan kue tahun baru Imlek. Membeli keperluan bahan-bahan kue tahun baru Imlek. In English, I want to buy cakes ingredients for Lunar New Year. Ina, di mana? Di mana? In English, where? Lucy, di pasar tradisional. Di pasar tradisional. In English, at the traditional market. Ina, apa saja yang dibeli? Apa saja yang dibeli? In English, what ingredients do you want to buy? Lucy, keju, susu bubuk, susu cair, telur ayam, gula pasir, terigu, mentega, dan lain-lain. Keju, susu bubuk, susu cair, telur ayam, gula pasir, terigu, mentega, dan lain-lain. In English, cheese, milk powder, milk, chicken eggs, sugar, wheat flour, butter, and many others. Ina, kalau begitu, mari kita berangkat. Kalau begitu, mari kita berangkat. In English, so, let's go. Lucy, ya, sekarang lebih baik. Ya, sekarang lebih baik. In English, okay, right now. Ina, baiklah, mari kita pergi bersama. Baiklah, mari kita pergi bersama. In English, all right, let's go together. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until next week with another topic, sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we will play some beautiful songs composed by an Indonesian pop singer and songwriter Firdy Megananda, or popularly known with the name Baby Romeo, which Indonesian people will instantly recognize. Baby Romeo, who was born in September 1974, is very popular in Indonesia because his songs are much preferred by the music lovers. The name is taken from his band's name before he decided to go to a solo career. Well, listeners, let's listen to the first song entitled Bunga Terakhir by Baby Romeo. Happy listening.
Kaulah yang pertama menjadi cinta, tinggallah kenangan. Berakhir lewat bunga seluruh cintaku untuknya.
Listener, you've just listened to the song Bunga Terakhir. A song composed by Baby Romeo is very popular among the lovers of Indonesian pop music. Managed to popularize his name among the Indonesian top singers and songwriters. Then his songs are mainly dedicated by Indonesian famous pop singers such as Afghan and Indonesia's pop diva Krisdayanti. Mencintaimu is one song composed by Baby has managed to raise the name of Krisdayanti, while for male singers, Baby Romeo has also composed a song for Ari Lasso entitled Perbedaan. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Perbedaan by Ari Lasso. Happy listening.
Sendiri resapi heningnya malam ini, tanpamu di sini hatiku sunyi. Perbedaan itu membuatmu jatuh.
It should be recognized that Baby Romeo's works of very high quality, both musically and in harmonization of notation. No wonder a number of Indonesian pop singers brought a lot of his songs, such as Afgan Sahreza, an Indonesian talented singer. Through a song composed by Baby Romeo entitled Bukan Cinta Biasa, Afgan more raises his popularity. Well, listeners, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Bukan Cinta Biasa and Sadis by Afgan. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Ku sadari aku telah jatuh cinta dari hatiku terdalam sungguh aku cinta padamu. Cintaku bukanlah cinta biasa. Jika kamu yang memiliki dan kamu yang temaniku seumur hidupku, terimalah pengakuanku, percaya.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Terlalu sadis caramu menjadikan diriku pelampiasan cintamu agar dia kembali padamu. Tanpa peduli sakitnya aku, teganiannya caramu menyingkirkan diriku dari percintaan ini agar dia kembali padamu tanpa peduli sakitnya aku. Semoga Tuhan membalas semua yang terjadi kepadaku suatu saat nanti. Hingga kau sadari sesungguhnya yang kau punya
tempatmu kembali. Sebagai cintamu kepadaku suatu saat nanti. Hingga kau sadari sesungguhnya yang kau punya hanya aku, tempatmu kembali.
Suatu hari tanpa sengaja kita bertemu. Aku yang pernah terluka kembali mengenal cinta. Hati ini kembali temukan senyum yang hilang. Semua itu karena dia. Oh Tuhan, ku cinta dia, ku sayang dia, rindu dia, inginkan dia. Utuhkanlah rasa cinta di hatiku, hanya padanya, untuk dia. Jauh waktu berjalan kita lalui bersama. Betapa di setiap hari ku jatuh cinta padanya. Dicintai oleh dia ku merasa sempurna. Semua itu karena dia. Oh Tuhan, ku cinta dia, ku sayang dia, rindu dia, inginkan dia. Utuhkanlah rasa cinta di hatiku, hanya padanya, untuk dia. Cinta dia, ku sayang dia, rindu dia, inginkan dia. Utuhkanlah rasa cinta di hatiku, hanya padanya. untuk dia, hanya padanya. Untuk dia,
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's sound.
Spending all my time lying down here by your side. We will never be apart. And if I could, I'd love you more. I can't explain how I adore to look upon this precious work of art. Cause I've been searching for a long time and traveled so far. When I found you, I was home again. Is you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.